Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour today on VFN Radio is John Ramos. And also joining us is the one, the only, they broke the mold before they made him, Pat Hamilton.
Thank goodness.
We got a shout out this morning to Teresa. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Joanne. Give a shout out also this morning to Sophia. Good morning. Loved your word of encouragement. You are listening to VFN Radio Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Here we are. We just came out of the first hour where we're talking specifically about, you know, being encouraged. It's not over until it's over, right?
Right.
That was sign language. And so, or forehead language. You know, we're about to enter into a topic. We're hunting around, hunting and digging. And it's like, oh my goodness. Okay, so I'm going to leave this one with you, John, and I'll step out. And, you know, but we do want to say this morning, you know, obviously in Greece, you have a story from Greece there, John?
I do. You know, just recently, just came out, and I'm going to butcher her. Her name here. I'm trying not to get it right, but it's a Paravasky, and I'll just leave the last name with a P. But
Paraskevi. You're talking about Paraskevi.
Expelled.
You're talking about Paraskevi.
I'm sorry.
Paraskevi. You talking about in Greece?
Yes. Oh, okay. You did that pretty good.
Oh yeah, it's Paraskevi.
Well, she was just expelled from the Greece Olympic team, and the reason she was expelled was because she actually. What was said was reported that she actually had tweeted a racist joke, if that's what you could actually call it, a joke. But this was her tweet. With so many Africans in Greece, at least the mosquitoes of the West Nile eat homemade food.
Oh my goodness, that was terrible.
It's awful. It's awful. And initially,
what's her nationality?
I guess she's from Greece.
Oh, she's Greek. Okay, Greek.
Greek. Mm-hmm. You know, but at first she didn't even want to distance herself from that actual statement. She reported next or tweeted later, said, I'm not a stuck CD, whatever that means. And if I make mistakes, I do not hit replay. I continue playing. But then later in the week when it was being discussed that she was going to be removed, she quickly changed her tune. She quickly decided that wasn't going to be, you know, what she was going to stand by. So she started to apologize. And it's pretty sad.
Well, malaria is a horrific thing. You know, I think about, you know, Keith Lashbrook. He ministered in Haiti. And
yes,
with the Father's Hand, as my piece will be going back. I understand I haven't met with him. I don't know the details on that or not, with the orphanage there. And he got malaria ministering there. And he goes, there's times when it literally just gets. I also think of Howard Naguari in Africa, you know, that he has to go for a time of treatment to be able to you just basically lose all your energy. Everything just shuts down. I mean, malaria is probably one of the biggest things that are coming against mankind. Mm-hmm. It is nothing to be, you know, and then to top that off, you know, to say that about one of their, was it a fellow athlete? Is that what they're saying? Or?
It wasn't a fellow athlete, but apparently there's a lot of immigrants that are coming in from Nigeria, as they're reporting it. And so it seems that there's some sort of resentment in Greece over the Nigerians coming over into their country. And it's like, are they possibly, you know, blaming immigrants for what's occurring in the economy.
If you've been following the the socialism of Greece, they blame anybody that's pulling on the till of the government, you know, getting resources from the government. It's not Greece. They're not Greeks. They from the beginning they've been doing that.
Wow.
Because everybody pulls from the government there. Everybody gets their resources. So they think, you know, I get less now because you're coming into our country. And other people are going, hey, this is a great country. I'm going to come there because the government will take care of me.
Right.
And they're wanting to do what they're doing. You know, and of course, that's the world. So, you know, VFN Radio is about, you know, what would be our perspective in the church if that was happening in the church? It would be totally wrong. You know, right. All men are created equal. That's not just the Constitution. That's actually our Creator's word.
Right.
We're created in the image and the likeness of God. And if you really think, that the thinness of somebody's epidermis determines God's relationship and their value, that just shows the thinness of your brain to ever think that, or the stronghold that you have, that really you think God favors you because of your nationality over someone else's. God loves us all.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God loves us all. And that, but a viewpoint of that for us is that, you know, the church should be the most beautiful bouquet of all the different nationalities. And obviously sometimes, you know, some people don't know all the different languages, but we come together, we know Jesus, and we just connect instantly.
Well, I'll tell you something so beautiful. I was in Jersey City yesterday in Journal Square. If you've ever been to Jersey City before, it's like the largest city in New Jersey, 250,000 people. You would have loved it because it's very ethnicity and the culture was amazing. And I'm walking down near Journal Square, and I start to hear this music, and it's just pulling on me. And I'm thinking, what? This sounds so familiar. It's blaring. And as I look across the street, it's worship. So I said, I gotta see what's going on over there. So I go across the street, dodge a couple cars, you know, and I go across the street, and I find out that they're doing an outreach. And so I stop and I talk to one of the men, and I met Khalil. Khalil is from Egypt. He's a believer, and he was just sharing the love of God. And so here's Khalil, different, you know, ethnicity and different background, and just right there. And we had such an amazing encounter, both of us believers, both of us Christians, and we stood side by side each other. We're just thinking, how amazing is that? Just about 5 minutes ago, we were complete strangers. We come from different backgrounds, different races, different, but you know what? We're one in God.
Yeah.
And we actually hugged each other. He looked at me and says, anybody else thinks we're probably crazy right now?
Right.
I said, yeah, but you know what?
Isn't it cool though?
Oh, it's amazing. We prayed.
I remember you first got to Jersey. Do you remember the lady vendor? How she was just so excited. You know?
Oh yeah, homegirl.
Yeah, it was so cool. Yeah, but her nationality is.
She's Asian.
She's Asian. No. Not the one that worked in the shoe store.
Oh, what are you talking about?
The one on the sidewalks when you were there, and she was selling wallets and purses and all.
Oh, yes. From India.
I have to remind you of your life. You
know, I know.
Your life is very interesting if you pay attention. I mean, God's doing a lot of things in your life.
It's so much, man. I need to scribe.
Isn't it amazing? I can't find my keys, but I can tell you what happened on that sidewall that day.
That's amazing. She's from India. She was from India. That was an amazing encounter,
That's
too.
What I'm talking about, man.
Yeah.
And she credited the success of her business to God.
Yeah, she sure did. She sure did. That was an amazing encounter.
Well, you stole the wallet, too.
Did not steal the wallet.
What happened?
Do I need to go into the story?
We'll get it later on. We'll just get it later on. Pray for John. No. Here this lady is thanking God for her business, and he just steals one of her wallets.
Oh, no, that's not the case.
Well, I mean, we'll just say he just walked off with it without paying for it, right?
Kind of. That's partial.
I mean, welcome New Jersey. You know, somebody comes, you know, into our city and steals our wallet. You know what I'm saying?
It's not exactly how it went by. I was walking past her kiosk.
Oh, we're like going into the next story. You know, we'll have to get back to that later on. Okay, tell us what happened.
Okay. I was walking through the kiosk, through the mall, actually.
Is that a prison or what? Is that a kiosk?
I was walking through the mall and on my way to work. And I saw this kiosk, and I needed a wallet.
And a kiosk is a what?
A kiosk is, I guess, a little, I don't know,
a prison
store in the middle of the mall.
Oh. Yeah, it's like a little portable store.
Oh,
yeah,
the little store on wheels in the middle of the mall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I'll tell you the funny story is that I actually had this long checkbook wallet. I think Pat remembers this, in my back pocket, and I had just moved to New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
And, my new friends were like, man, you're going to need to get rid of that wallet because that thing is like an eye magnet. They're going to take that wallet from
you. Well,
me.
It was longer than you were tall. It was amazing how big it was. But the chain on your, the chain that you had on it that hooked up your belt loop was totally amazing.
So I'm thinking about my friends and what they're telling me in regards to my wallet. Hey, get a new wallet. So I'm walking past this kiosk and this lady she's selling wallets and purses and all this. I stopped by, I said, I need to get this. So I'm looking at it and this is pretty good. I said, I'll probably buy it. And I looked at my watch and realized, man, I am going to be late. I'll just get this on my way back, out of the office. So I told her, I says, okay, I'll come back for it. And, bless her heart, she's trying to work her business, and I could appreciate a business person out there, salesperson. She's like, please buy it. I'll give you a discount. Take it, please. I said, I promise I'll be back. We kept talking. And, finally, I just had to leave, because she was pretty aggressive and, just trying to promote her business. So I was walking off, got all the way like a 5 to 7 minute walk to the end of the mall. And I realized, oh my gosh, I've got her wallet in my hand. How did I walk away with her wallet?
Right, right.
So I walked all the way back and I said, I am so sorry. We were talking and I left.
This is Jersey. She's shocked. She's like, shocked. She's like, you stole my stuff. You stole my stuff and you brought it back. Oh my goodness.
You brought the wallet back? And I said, yes, I did. She says, what made you bring it back? I said, well, it's not mine. I need to pay for it. It was just accident. And she then says to me, you must be a Christian. And I said, yes, I am. And she goes, well, I am one too. And she pulls out her drawer and pulls out her Bible. And we had such an amazing encounter, such an amazing talk. And she tells me how she found God in India and how she's ministering to her son. And long story short, just from that simple encounter, I was able to meet her son. And he is an awesome, awesome guy.
That was her son?
Yes, that was her son.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
But eventually we met. We picked him up. Remember, we went and picked him up at Penn Station.
Mm-hmm.
And
he actually rode the subway all the way to Penn Station, right?
Right, right. And we picked him up in Newark.
Uh-huh.
And when we picked him up, he had a dish, a covered dish, and everything that he put on the subway.
He's riding a subway with a covered dish because you come to a VFN, VFN church gathering, you're going to come just like the church always did. You're going to show up with some sort of food that you prepared, right?
That's right.
And she's going like, oh, you're not going to dig that. I'm going to fix you something. Right? It was macaroni and cheese, I think, wasn't it?
No.
It was Indian dish.
Yeah, cuisine or something. But it was good. They brought it and we ate it.
Isn't that beautiful? He's riding all the way on a train. So many people that have, cars. They have these, they live in the suburbs, all these different things. They're going, I can't fix nothing. I can't find nothing. He fixed that meal, got that plate, that dish. Got on the train. You can see him just sitting there rocking back and forth, thinking, picturing him, right? And holding that dish, going all the way to Jersey, going to actually Elmwood Park.
Yeah.
And to be able to gather with the church. I'll never forget that because I was in Jersey during the time. I got a chance to meet him. That was so cool to be able to see. We did. We picked him up at Penn Station. There he was sitting with the covered dish, ready to worship God. That was beautiful.
How awesome was that? Just on a chance encounter like that. You never know.
Good thing you stole her wallet, because if you wouldn't have stole her wallet, this never would have happened, right?
Yeah.
We'll be right back in a moment.
Think about this. If you haven't seen R.A. Dickey, R.A. Dickey is on the VFN TV blog. John had a chance. Some of you caught this on Monday. He had a chance with Isaiah and Elijah, who are baseball fans, the New York Mets, to be able to spend some moments with him. And his testimony now is available, John, on the VFN TV blog.
I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, I saw that.
And tell us what happened there.
Well, it's pretty cool. R.A. Dickey is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a tremendous testimony. I mean, what God has done in his life is just absolutely amazing. He wrote a new book. You can get it, I'm sure, in all the bookstores. It has a very long title, but you can go to VFNTV.com and go to the blog, and you can get the title. But well,
it's called R.A. Dickey, Wherever I Wind Up.
Yes, there's a subtitle there.
And subtitle.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool, you know, because he's been through so many trials and so many things in his life.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I know. But it's cool when you give God credit, you know.
Yes,
when
it
you
is. Don't
when you arrive to a place of prominence, it's when you come to a place of stage, when you come to a place when the whole world, you know, is looking at you, you don't pound your chest and say it was me, my hard work or what I've done, but you give glory to the Lord. And that's what he's done. I mean, the book is very therapeutic because you know, you just see just the trials of any ordinary man. But we had a chance to go see him at the Yogi Berra Stadium. You know, Yogi Berra lives close out here, one of the famous Yankee players of all time. And he was doing a book signing, and we had the chance. You know, my son, we happened to be in Philadelphia not too long ago, and we're standing outside of the Liberty Bell. And we're waiting to get on in, and my son happens to recognize another baseball player. And I'm saying, son, Elijah, it is hot out here. There's no way that this player is out here. Long story short, him and his mom walk up to the player, and it winds up being Bobby Parnell, pitcher for the New York Mets. And so he had to get a chance to get an autograph, and that was a pretty cool experience. And when he walked away, you know, I always like to talk about Christ and talk about the Lord and just let people know about the love of God. And when we left, I said, you know, we didn't even talk to Bobby about the Lord or anything. I says, you know, if we ever get a chance again to speak to someone on a baseball team or someone that maybe has prominence, then we're going to share with them the most important thing in our life. And so here we go, getting ready to see R.A. Dickey. And there was such a huge response to seeing him. I mean, people were showing up all over the place. They were sold out. And we decided that, you know, everyone's getting autographs. We wanted to bless R.A. Dickey with a ball that says iabide.org.
You know, I'm looking at it right now. I can see it. It's pretty cool. It's on the blog. It's on the VFN TV blog. It says, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, think about it. You know, he's a believer, and we wanted to bless him with the opportunity. Hey, listen, you know, this is awesome. You need to abide with the Lord, and I'm sure he is, but we wanted to encourage him with that. And so we walk up to him, introduce ourselves, and say, hey, R.A., we have this awesome ball we want to give you. We know that you're a believer, and I had a chance to encourage him and say, listen, you know, this is your season, this is your time, God's putting you on a platform, you know, share the gospel. And he said thank you. He asked me to continue to pray for him, but I said, I want to give you this gift about abiding and spending time with the Lord. He looked at it. I believe his wife was sitting right next to him, and she was really surprised. She's like, oh my goodness, you know, I guess no one does that. And he said, wow, I'm definitely going to take a look at it. He was pretty touched by it, and so he was willing to take a picture with us. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you can spend time with the Lord and read his word and have the opportunity to hear God for yourself. That's one of the inheritance that the son and the daughter of God have, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, that there is no in-between, that there isn't anyone that has to stand between you and God. You know, think about it. Think about it. You may never have access with some of the most powerful men and women of the world. You may never, ever get a chance to meet or talk, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you sit down and abide with God and read his word. And I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know where to start, you know, oftentimes people that they want to read the word of God, you know, but they don't know where to start. They don't know what plan, what to follow. Let me tell you, you can get a simple plan that gets you started at iabide.org. That's the letter I and the word abide, ABIDE.org. And you can just begin. It's a simple plan. But let me tell you, I encourage you to do it for 6 weeks. Make a commitment. Say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to hear God for myself. And I promise you, he'll speak back to you through his word.
Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I mean, that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you, and you could listen to programs that you – even our archives. For example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right,
you know, and the perspective of things going on. And that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. You know, well, we're just coming out of finding out about how John stole the wallet from the lady on the sidewalk, and we've worked that out. He did return it. Well, everybody know he returned it, and her son attended one of the VFN churches, and actually VFN Elmwood Park.
That's right, sure, in
New Jersey, and I got a chance to meet. It was just really cool, all the God encounters. There's so many believers scattered across the world, and you got to get out amongst them. It's so beautiful. There's more outside of the flower pot than in it, by the way.
Yes.
And you need to identify yourself. You need to be light in the midst of the world, and let people know that there's hope. You know, I want to be able to talk about for a moment. You know, here we are coming close to, you know, primary elections are taking place across the land where, you know, people are voting for the candidate of their choice. And I encourage you, you know, don't vote for somebody just because you like the way they look. Don't vote for them because they have honey dripping lips, as we've heard about in the first hour about, you know, a malice man disguises himself with his lips. Go and meet the person. It's representative government. Just look them square in the eye and say, I need to ask you some questions, and have those questions ready that help you feel comfortable that they are in alignment with how you would feel right before God for voting for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, I ain't got time, then that just gives you that moment. It says, well, okay, I just want to let you know it was important to me to ask you those questions. So I'm going to mark you off my list. Okay. I mean, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you know, it's the American people. It's a government by the people and for the people. Whether you believe it or not, God believes it. And he's watching how we pull the lever. We don't pull the lever. We need to find out who we're voting for.
That's right.
Don't call your Uncle Bobby up, you know, because he's some, you know, left-leaning, right-leaning, weird-leaning, you know, person that's all this political stuff. You get out and find out yourself.
That's right.
You know, and meet these people. And you'll find out, first of all, I admire, you know, men and women who are willing to get up and be leaders. I mean, it's amazing, especially in today's culture, because even the they just get so ridiculed and they get, you know, just taken through the ringer, and they're still willing. I think about Michelle Bachmann. I mean, you know, just such a, I admire her. Admire her for willingness to stand. And she said very specifically, this was not in my plans.
Right.
You know, I just want to be, you know, a mother and a wife, and I just wanted to enjoy life. You know, I believe she was some sort of tax attorney or something like that.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, God had other plans for her. And now she stands boldly, you know, for other people and for, you know, conservative viewpoints, you know, and our government. And so get to know them. You know, our governor, we're in Florida, so I personally met. We prayed in our gathering, our church gathering. And we said, listen, you know, we want to be involved. We want to know who's going to be leading and who we're going to vote for, or whatever. And so we just pray, God, introduce us to the candidates. You know, introduce us, let us meet them. And it's tough meeting, you know, national candidates or statewide candidates because they're moving so quickly. And if they are there, they're normally behind some sort of, you know, it's like a star. This is what we turned our politics into. It's like, you know, a star's coming to sign autographs instead of saying, no, sit down. We got to talk to you. If you're going to make decisions for our state and for our government, we need to know what you're doing.
That's right.
Instead, they just fly by. I got to go, but I'll give you whatever thing you want possibly. Maybe mine, I'm out of here. And it's like, no, you know. And so when I was, the Lord just laid on my heart, I needed to be at the airport. You know, the presidential, the governmental candidate was coming in at that point that I needed to meet. And I showed up. And when I showed up, it was like, there was like four of us. You know, it was not a lot of people at all. And then you had the press that's there. You know, so you had a camera, me, and the governor's candidate, the governor for governor's like,
Obviously, he's a loyalist because he's the only one who showed up at the airport. No, there's probably about, I don't know, maybe 12. I mean, it was small. Wow. And it was a big hangar, too, you know. And so, but it was a perfect encounter. I got a chance to meet Bob, the governor of Louisiana, you know, Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Jindal.
Bobby Jindal. Oh, my goodness.
He's cool, isn't he?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, he is so cool. He really is. If you get to meet some of these men and women, they're just the ones that are the real deal. It's just so cool, and you would really like the governor of Louisiana, and but anyway, so he's there helping Governor Scott at that time, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, not Governor Scott, but candidate Scott. And so I wanted to meet him. I didn't know him. I didn't know what he. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to find out who he is, what he stood for, or whatever. And so I got a chance to talk to him. And I was actually talking to the governor of Louisiana, and I said, "Look at this." I said, "I hate to cut you off." I'm serious. Oh, I'm serious because God will honor you. Everybody that's listening in this broadcast, I want to tell you right now: get involved in who's our leader. Who's our leaders are going to be? I wasn't going to necessarily vote for any particular candidate. I just wanted to know. I wanted to know before God. I fear God. I got to know what they're saying. Is it true or not? You know, and I gotta pray about it before I pull the lever. And so,
right.
he's standing there. And so I tell Bobby, we'll be with you in a minute. Is this wild? It is so wild. And he's, he really, if you get a chance to meet the governor of Louisiana, really, he's just a real person. He's just a real deal and a believer. And, I first heard about Bobby, the mayor, the governor of Louisiana in Rome, Georgia. I was in Rome, Georgia, and his pastor was there.
Oh,
and so he was telling me early on how God was beginning to stir his heart to be able to be governor. So I already kind of knew, things work quite often.
Oh, yeah.
I already kind of knew what was happening before it actually happened. But so I talked to that time candidate.
Rick Scott,
and they're saying a lot of different things about him at that particular time, and I just need to ask him some questions. And I said, ask him a few questions. He goes, listen, you can just check my website out, and I'll have. I said, we're here right now. I need to hear it from your mouth.
Mm.
And I began to ask him questions. Who is Jesus to you?
Mm.
Not are you a Christian? We got to get past that, church.
Mm-hmm.
Who
right.
is Jesus? And then listen, one man told me he was a carpenter and a teacher, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Not him, because immediately Rick began to talk about, the governor began to talk about, we wasn't governor then, his name was Rick Scott at that point, he's a businessman. He said, he's my savior, and he saved my life, my life totally was transformed. He said that, and ever since then, I've been serving him, I helped plant churches, and he started talking about his personal testimony.
Wow.
I didn't give him any clues, I just said, shut up, I said, who's Jesus to you? That's what Jesus said, right? Who are they saying I am? And then I asked him about some other questions. They're saying, that you were on the board for hospitals that were approving abortions and all this kind of stuff. And he goes, if you look at it, that they don't even happen in these hospitals. They wouldn't be, it's disconnected from the reality of what would be there. So it can't happen.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is not unusual. By the way, don't believe all the political stuff that you see out there. Just go meet the candidates. I mean, it's amazing what they say about each other. It's like, dude, you live together. Why would you say that? Why don't you just run on your own abilities instead of, anyway. So I had a chance to ask all these different questions. So it was pretty cool. And so I was able to figure out what I was going to do. But I met the candidates. You got to meet these guys, these ladies, and admire them for the fact that they're willing to stand up in the day of Google and YouTube. And because every man has fallen short. Nobody's perfect. And they're willing to take their imperfections and let people scrutinize them while they're willing to lead. And that is the American form of government. That's the U.S. Constitution is what it's about. But if they're willing to step up there and say, I will, and you're interviewing them because it's representative government, whether you're going to allow them to lead or not.
That's right.
And whether, somebody says, well, my vote wasn't going to matter. It matters to God. No matter what happens, don't just pull a lever because it's the popular thing to do. That's how they do for false prophets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody pulls the lever for a false prophet. Everybody talks well of a false prophet. But understand this, that get to know them because they're going to represent you. It's a republic, which means a representative government. When you say the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm going to say it again and again so we get it, that it's not a democracy. You'll hear people in that are representatives in this republic and they say, well, this is a democracy. We'll figure it out.
Right.
You know, we haven't read the health care bill, but this is a democracy. We'll figure it out. And this is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and they're just kind of just, you know, beelining those words over and over again to get people to convinced that this is a democracy. But we're a republic where we send representatives to represent us. Therefore, we need to interview you because you're supposed to go read the bills and come back and tell us what they said. And then we will tell you because you're going to represent us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking for many kings and queens here to go down there and rule over us. Mm-hmm. We're looking for representative government. And we're not a democracy. You listen to us. We tell you what we want you to do. If you don't want to do that anymore, you just step aside and somebody else represents us.
Mm.
That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
You're not saying you're bad. You can feel any way you want to feel. Be honest about it. And then we will choose what we're going to do with that. And so you got to get involved in meeting the people that are going to represent you because they will send your sons and daughters to war or not. You know, they will close down your business or not.
Mm-hmm.
They will seize your property and seize your bank accounts and put you in jail because of laws that they want to be able to bring to pass or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty important. This is how things this whole thing called government doesn't just happen.
That's right.
We in America have a chance to participate in the process of it. And every day, you know, all my years in law enforcement, people went to jail almost every single day. Every day. And they went to jail because somebody decided that it was illegal to do that particular behavior. But, you know, at one time prior to that, it wasn't illegal. So a representative presented a bill to the legislature and said, hey, we want to make this illegal. And they voted on it. And there was a day people did it everywhere. And now your son or your daughter or you or your wife or your friend, they do it now. They go to jail for 10 years. Because the government decided it was illegal. But it wasn't illegal until we made a law because it's a land of law. You know, it's ruled by the laws of the land. We can change the laws or whatever. There was a day that abortion was illegal. It was illegal to be able to have an abortion. But they changed the law of 1972 or 73 with Roe versus Wade. And now, you know, millions of babies have been aborted and killed in the womb. It's a law. It's a matter of law. It matters who represents you. It matters who represents you. You need to go. We're at a crucial point right now in our state of a nation that you got to find out. You need to find out, you know, who is this partnership that it's taking place with Islam infiltrating our government. You know, why is our representative government allowing somebody to erase all of the parts of our library, you know, for because of his personal preference or whatever, his viewpoints. And is that really representing us, or is that just you representing you?
Your interest.
You know, is it dreams of our founding fathers or just dreams of, you know what I'm saying? And so you understand that. And so we need to know this. We need to know who, and just throwing our hat behind somebody because they do good business as Christians, that doesn't do it for us either. You know, as Christians, we're not going to, well, he's going to make my wallet. And they've turned America and American history into something based on economy. It's all, they changed our history and began to write it off of money. And if you have not yet experienced wall builders and what they're doing with the American Heritage series, you need to get it. Go to wallbuilders.com and get the American Heritage series. You know, we talk about, if you ask somebody, why did we pull away from England? Why did we pull away from England, the king? Most people will say it was taxation without representation.
Right.
What they'll say. Right. It's a money issue. And they took that, people who didn't back around 1920, 1930, and began to rewrite our history books based on money. It was all about economy and about money because they didn't have God. These writers who wrote our textbooks for the last 50 years that the students went through, and then we didn't even talk about the 27 reasons why in the Declaration of Independence why we left England, and that taxation without representation was 17th on the list of 27. And the biggest issue was in the first part of the Declaration was no representative government. That's what's happening now, that they would make laws in the colonies, they would go back, and the king would undo them. It was representative government. That was one of their biggest issues, was representative government. And here we are again today, You know, we have people that are, that say we want to represent you, which means they represent you and your values and your what you're, you know, what you're wanting in your community, in your state, in your nation. But then they go there just like the king did, and they're undoing the very thing that we wanted. Because if you talk about what the most of Americans want, you know, they want what we're leaving. And so go read the Declaration of Independence. There's 27 reasons why that they pulled away from, we pulled away from England, and, mm-hmm. and tax money was the 17th one. The number one was representative government. And here we are again today. We have leaders that are going to DC, and they're like little kings and little queens, you know, that are going there to just rule like the King of England did. And just, it doesn't matter what the people, let them eat cake. You know, it's like, right. You know, let them have health care. It's like, ask us what we want, you know.
Thank you.
Ask us what we want. I mean, obviously we want to be healthy. We want, but get us involved in the process.
Right.
You know, don't just go down there and take an 11,000 page document or 1100 page document and tell us you didn't read it.
Right.
You know,
think you know best.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like a king. That right. would be, a king can do that. Off with their heads. You know, it's like, he's like, what? And so read the Declaration of Independence. Get familiar with it. You know, we hold these truths self-evident that all men were created equal by our Creator, right? Mm-hmm. And not government. Our rights don't come from government. They come from God. And so find out how they feel about the Constitution, because they're going to swear. They're going to swear. We're talking about this. We're about to have, you know, Tony Evans wrote a book. And in the book he wrote, it's, you know, Why Christians Shall Vote. And we're going to be talking about how should Christians vote? It's very good. Got a little small interview. We're going to play with him. You got to hear it. And we'll have it also available to you on The Torch. You can get to The Torch at VFNTV.com, the VFN Torch. But understand this, that we need to get involved. If we don't get involved, there's a void. There's a void. 33,000 conservatives in America, 33,000, think they're registered to vote, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And they're having all these opinions and conversations right now. But they're going to show up at the poll, and they cannot pull one lever. Mm-hmm. Not they're gonna, you're gonna walk 33,000. I get that number. You can find that on The Torch, the VFN Torch. Maybe you can pull it up on The Torch and see. But I get those numbers right. But understand this, that we got to get active. We can't. A representative government means we're getting involved. People say, I don't have time. You know, my television program's coming on, and oh my goodness, you know, I'm doing nothing. And I'm actually having to go earn some money to buy some old-looking jeans and the image of doing something. We have to meet our people that are wanting to be represent us. You'll find out if you're trying to meet them and they're avoiding you, that's a sign. That's a sign that you don't want to vote for somebody because they're not going to represent you, you know. And you need them to be able to answer your phone calls within reason. You need them to be able to respond to you, because if they're representing you, how can they represent you if they don't listen to you? And we got to recapture that again. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that to say this. If God, you know, if we prayed and we said, God, we need to meet these candidates, and God, you know, brought me to two governors to be able to meet them and just ask them the questions, and the best question you can ask anybody, you know, as a believer, because we're really concerned about what is your viewpoint of Jesus, you know, who is Jesus to you? Mm-hmm. And another question we need to ask after that now is like, do you think you can be Jesus? Because there's now, you know, there is people running for office that that's think they will definitely be Jesus one day.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's true. And that's true. And so do you think at any point you're going to be Jesus? Wow. We love Jesus, right? Is that not true?
It's so true.
You can find out about Mormonism on the VFN Torch. Just type in Mormonism. You'll have several articles come up that actually has firsthand, you know, them talking about that. And you can just take it for what it is. I want, in law enforcement, for example, or say if you're in the military, you know, you don't care about a person's, they don't have to have the same faith as you to fight with you. Mm-hmm. But you have to let, as bold as they are for their 31, as bold as they are, I just saw a note, as bold as they are for their faith, you should be bold for yours. And both of you should respect each other in the context of that. You can talk openly of why you have faith in God through Jesus Christ and your personal relationship, and they can talk about whatever their faith is. But if their faith denies your faith, you can openly say, well, you know, that's not true. This is how it is. But you can agree to disagree. It's called the battlefield of ideas, George Washington called it. Mm-hmm. And so, it's a matter of what the person's faith is in regards to if you're fighting crime together, you know, as a law enforcement officer, you're building a house together, mm-hmm. you know, you're an American, you know, e pluribus unum, you know, though we're many, we're one. But the second that your freedom encroaches on my freedom, the second that your faith and your belief does away with my constitution and begins to change it, there you swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States and defend it from enemies foreign and domestic, and that's the pledge that I was talking about. He says, mm-hmm. I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic, not democracy, for which it stands. And understand that you ask your people running for office, including the ones that are in, where do you stand with the Constitution? If they tell you their hands are tied, well, so we're going to untie them puppies right now. Because as constitutional officer, your hands should not be tied. Mm. You should be talking to us, who you represent, and you're not representing. You need to step aside. You know,
that's right. I want to know who tied those hands.
I know it. It's like you'd be surprised how many. If you follow that, it's a big long trail of people that just say, you know, if you follow the money, the budgetary things that are happening. Yeah. And you see part of America being repressed. You see families being torn apart. You see fathers being pulled out and these different things. There's different agencies that are coming from government that are attacking mm-hmm. the family. And then you talk to them and they say, well, you know, my hands are tied. And this is what I say. Well, how is this place funded? I'm thinking, is it private money or is it government money? Mm-hmm. And they go, it's funded by grants. And I go, And what does that tell me? That if I don't think that's right, then we need to be able to change the funding for the organization. Because believe me, their hands won't be tied when they're not getting a paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You should not be interfering with the family. As Christians, you know, we have values. We have what we think we value. We want to be able to raise our families the way God says to raise our families. We're not telling you how to raise your family, but you shouldn't be telling us how to raise our family. You know, we want to walk in our marriage to the best of our abilities the way God says to walk in a marriage. We're not telling you to walk in your marriage that way, but we're saying, you know, we should have the rights according to the Constitution to be able to walk out, you know, family the way God says family is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to ask the question, what do you think about the U.S. Constitution? And then ask them to ask for, you need to find out yourself. And you can find it on the Torch, Viv and Torch. Read it. You know, that's what we're made of. And then ask them, you know, what is the First Amendment? And listen, what is the Second Amendment? What's the Third Amendment? What's the Fourth, Fifth, Sixth? Stop there and go, what does that mean to you? Are you going to defend it? Because you're going to have to raise your hand that you will swear to defend it from enemies foreign and domestic, which means if there's enemies in Washington, D.C., like what Michelle Bachmann saying, that you're coming against this Constitution, then she writes a letter, that they write a letter and say, listen, you're coming against the Constitution. This is not right. Mm. And so she's defending it. She's doing what she's supposed to do. But those who are trying to change it and morph it and attack it, they are attacking her now,
right?
Including the ones whose name's been removed from the libraries of FBI, the Muslim Brotherhood, the CAIR organization, CAIR, you know, and it's amazing what's going on right now. So when they're representing us, we need to stand up for them. But right now, this is a question right here. It's an interview with Pastor Tony Evans from the America Family Association. He's being interviewed talking about the book that he had written, and you can see it on the VFN Torch. You know, how should Christians vote? Listen up.
I've been writing a book on voting.
Well, there's a lot of confusion out there about the role of God in government. There's a lot of division of the church between political parties. And so my view is, you know, God, whatever God speaks on, he speaks on perfectly, and he speaks on everything. So that this should not be just left up to political pundits. The kingdom of God has a view on government and voting. And so I'm postulating that God has a position that he takes, and it is the position that his people should take.
Marvin?
Interesting. Okay, so is God a Democrat or a Republican?
Well, I like to tell the story of Joshua, when Joshua was getting ready to go into battle. And he's getting ready to go into battle, and this against Jericho, and this huge guy shows up, this captain with this large army. And Joshua asks him, now, whose side are you on? You're on Jericho's side or you're on our side? And the captain looks at him and says, I'm not on either of your sides. I'm captain of the Lord's army. I did not come to take sides. I come to take over. So God doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or elephants. He has his own kingdom. Our job as Christians.
Isn't that beautiful? He says, God doesn't ride the backs of a donkey or an elephant.
All right.
You know, that's what you call a tweetable. Okay.
Oh, yes. Isn't that not good? It's so important because right now Christians better, you know, we have to pay attention that, you know, God's not a Democrat and he's not a Republican. He's not on their side or your side. He's on his own side. He's the creator of the universe. And that's what Joshua said. What he's talking about is beautiful because, you know, he was in trouble. He was in trouble. And so Joshua was asking the question when this huge angel shows up. He's like, are you going to destroy me? You're going to destroy them. Whose side are you on?
All right.
And he's like, God's. And the church has got to get back on God's side.
That's right.
We've got to get back on God's side. And this is an awesome interview. We're going to continue on with the interview here with Tony Evans. He wrote a book, How Should Christians Vote? And it's so important for us to even understand, you know, what's happening and why it's happening, where we need to listen up.
Is to vote for the candidate, party, platform, or policies that most reflect the values of the kingdom of God. That is the only superimposed standard that should govern our voting. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to vote the same, but it does mean everybody's going to be voting with the same philosophy if you're a serious Christian.
Talking to Tony Evans here on the program. Tony, your book is How Should Christians Vote? Where can people get a copy of this?
People can get a copy of How Should Christians Vote on Amazon, or they can contact our ministry, TonyEvans.org, or most Christian bookstores will have it.
Well, you know, he's talking about, and you can get the whole interview on the VFN Torch, but his book is How Christians Should Vote. And it's so important that we understand it's about the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, that when people are born again, they have a seed of the kingdom inside of them. And as they're discipled and as they grow in God and they're transformed by the renewing of their mind, their soul, with the think, want, and feel, that the kingdom expands in their life and it begins to just expand out of your life. The king's dominion. Right. And so God's not interested. He knew our opinion before, you know, we accepted him.
Mm-hmm.
He was wondering if we were going to accept his opinion.
That's right.
His way, his truth, because he designed everything. He loves us. He has a plan for our life. When we make him the Lord of our life, we become disciples of Jesus. And disciple of Jesus is someone not only who knows about his teachings, they follow his teachings.
That's right. I was just going to say that's what it means to make Jesus Lord. Is that I exchange whatever I thought was right for what he says is right. And we got to get past, if we're a believer, being married to any party, because, you know, no party owns the, you know, God. You know what I mean? I love what someone said. He said, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Christocrat.
Right. Yeah,
I don't vote my pocketbook or just any issues, but I vote based upon what is God saying? What is the Bible says and how would God want me to vote? Mm-hmm. And when you vote, it's just going to be you and God at that time.
That's what, you know, that's what we want to communicate to you, is that, you know, realize, you know, if you have a fear of man, you're not thinking about realizing that God is watching everything you do. Read Acts chapter 17 and realize that he's designed everything. He's created everything. He's chosen the season that you would live to see if you would reach out and pull a lever for him.
That's right.
Yeah, so you reach out and touch him, though you're not far from him. Realize he's just seeing how you're going to respond to what you know of his truths and what men tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
Isaiah said that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Right, that's the proverb, isn't it?
Yeah, we can proclaim Lord, Lord Jesus, Jesus, but are we going to actually stand with Jesus? Are we going to stand with God publicly? Are we going to stand with him in the voting booth? Are we going to stand to represent what God's word says in our lives?
Yeah, and there's so much. Time is so limited. We're not going to get a chance to talk about the other particular topic, but we're going to talk about it hopefully this week. You know, sexuality in the church, we got to be able to grab this and talk about it, because the enemy's trying to take the church down because the church is refusing to acknowledge what is God's designed. Sexuality can't be stopped, but it can be steered. But if you're not talking about it, the enemy's steering it, and it's not good. And if you never really talked about it, you can't complain what road it ended up on.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So we're going to be talking about that really soon, because we got to get it. You got to be truthful, and we got to be able to lay it out there to be able to help the church get free and get things steered in the right direction, so that we can love everybody and help and tell them that there's only one heaven and there's only one hell.
That's
and,
right.
You know, you know, the question is which sin sends you there, you know? Mm-hmm. And the thing is the one that you didn't deal with at the cross. It's the one that you chose not to confess and you kept in your heart.
Right.
You know, the distance from God and us is not measured in miles. It's not measured in inches. It's not measured in years, weeks, or days, or hours, or minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's measured by sin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's measured by sin. Sin in our heart that we refuse to acknowledge. And God already knows that you've done it. So just go, you know, I've done it. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. You know, and he does. He totally forgives us, which is so cool. We've got to begin to get a frank conversation, because this whole next wave of darkness that's trying to push over the face of the earth has to do with the church's confusion in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to find out, you know, what does it really mean? And what the truth of the matter is, you got to find out. Hopefully it'll be available on VFN TV soon, you know, to all of our subscribers. And you subscribe for free. Zero tolerance.
Oh, yes.
Because zero tolerance, everybody, the enemy convinces you, like today's governments are trying to do, that it's about this, but it's really about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the government's wanting to provide, you know, all these things to people, but it's not about provision to people. It's about taking your keys, taking your authority. And what the enemy wants to do is to seduce your authority, because God's given you, as just being a human being, because you're created in the image and the likeness of God. And Satan is a spiritual realm. That's second heaven, Ephesians 6 and 12. Cannot do anything on this earth unless somebody invites him in to their life, or they're held captive by him to do his will. I mean, he can't just do things.
Mm-hmm.
And so how he does that, he entices, he lies, just like in Adam and Eve and all the things that's ever happened, to get us to buy into sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives him the legal right to take our authority and do things to us and with us that wouldn't happen outside of that. But we can actually take that authority back at the cross. But if we don't understand that's what's going on, you could be walking around in so much shame, not realizing, yeah, it was shameful, it was bad, it was sinful, you know, but you know, God will forgive you. All sin is bad. You know, it's not, there's only one hell. So everybody that's in one sin that are pointing at you saying your sin is bad, you know, if neither one of you repent, you're going to be surprised that you're both going to be, you know, spending eternity, you know, in hell. So don't be caught up in that kind of stuff.
It's like the doctor that says, you know, do you want me to operate on you today, sir, with a knife that has a little bit of dirt or a knife that has a lot of dirt? Which one would you like me to use?
Right.
You allow no dirt. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't get into measuring sin.
Right. And we actually have, we were talking about a book. Also, it's called Click. CLICK by Bill Tanzer, and it's talking about everything, you know, you've ever clicked on in the internet, everything you ever searched for, all that kind of stuff. And that's why you see Google with such authority they're doing, because they're realizing that as everybody has searched and fallen short of the glory of God, everybody has, you know, found out, and we're going to talk about that the heart is, like I said in the very beginning, you know, when the Word of God says that the heart, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know a man's heart? And it's the Lord's. And the thing is not to be shocked. I mean, come on. That's what the enemy wants you to do, is be shocked. Be wise and go to the cross of Christ and say, Lord, you know, I need help with this. You know, we talk about, you know, be secure, besecure.com, that you can go and get some accountability in your life. Realize it's not strange for you to be, you have, you know, we're just going to talk a lot more about that. You've got to tune into VFN Radio. We got to get this, and we got to let the world know that we're no different than him outside of them.
That's
and
right.
Not trying to lift ourselves up like we're some you know, goody-two-shoe type person. We're just desperately dependent on Jesus to lead us, and he does, and he's willing to, and to guide us and to forgive us. And you know, the church is not perfect. They're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got to get that message across, and that it's a battle in the last days for, you know, men's souls. And this is going to be the battle. You know, it's literally a battle between Jezebel and Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at what happened with Jezebel. I mean, Jezebel had all of her religious things. You know, she had all of her prophets. They ate at her tables, you know, and things went her way.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, including Ahab.
Yep.
Right?
Mm. Right.
But Ahab was the one that was chosen to be the leader. And then you had Elijah. Elijah was just kind of off in the distance, spending time with God, raising up a few leaders, you know, speaking into people's lives. there came a time when God says, okay, now it's time to have a confrontation between the two. It's time to be able to say, all right, this is how it needs to go. You know, choose today who you're going to serve. And he brought everybody to a point of decision. The church is right now being brought to a point of decision. Mm-hmm. A point of decision is being where the church is coming to a place of point of decision. You know, you're going to have, you know, all of Jezebel's religion and all the things and all the cutting and piercing and sexuality, everything you can imagine in sexuality is going to be there around that particular, you know, altar as Jezebel's prophets, you know, Baal's prophets dance around it, like mm-hmm. top of the mountain for Elijah. But then you're going to have, you know, what Elijah put there and how he poured water over it and represented God's people. And there's going to be this transition of coming up, and you got to choose today who you're going to serve.
Mm.
You know, and he says he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. That's what he's talking about right there.
That's right.
And they danced and they did all their different stuff, but they were just religious.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't relational. They didn't know God.
Mm.
You know, and so Elijah goes, you need to cry out louder. Maybe he's sleeping or something. You know, yes. And most people today, I mean, the church has gotten so fearful. They wouldn't even dare even show up on the mountain when Elijah was calling them. You know what I'm saying? They'd be like, oh, my goodness, that's right. Because everybody fears Jezebel. I mean, everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody who don't fear God.
Fear God, that's right.
Fears Jezebel. They're like, they cringe. The difference between Jezebel and Elijah, obviously, is one's for God, one's against God. Both, but when you, if you can discern it, if you can't discern it, you can't tell the difference. But if you can discern it, one is fierce.
Mm.
You know, one is fierce. It kind of causes your spirit to cringe. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You kind of like, ugh, and the people know, oh, they're coming, and ugh, you know, it's just like, oh my goodness, you know, everybody tries to do what she or he wants because it's gonna be all, they're gonna be all huffy and puffy and all mm-hmm. this kind of stuff, you know, create a big storm. But mm-hmm. then you have the Elijah anointing is bold, and it's not fierce; it's bold. You know, and there's a difference in the two right there. You got to get that. Hopefully, it'll be available soon on VFN TV.
Oh my goodness!
We got to figure out how to present it because it's an intense time of getting free, and it's gonna. I guess it's the message to America right now.
It
the
is.
Church.
It is the message to America. It is a now
yeah.
word.
Yeah, and so listen, that you know, God does not provide for His way, for a way for His people to get free and to get out. And remember, when all of Israel. All of God's people were held captive up under a spirit of Jezebel. You had Jezebel and Ahab. He was the king. She was the queen. And so it is possible for an entire nation to be up under a principality.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible. And when God began to deal with it, and we'll talk more about it, he dealt with it through raising up, you know, Elijah and Jehu. We're going to talk more about that. There's hope. I want to encourage you. This is something we're going to have to deal with. I really believe we're going to have to talk about and give you some wisdom on how to get free and stay free. Nothing's taking you that's not common to man. Don't let the enemy try to make you feel like, oh, this is bad. That's what it's all bad outside of God.
That's
and
right.
Outside of Jesus Christ, you know, we would all fall, you know, short. But with Jesus, all things are possible. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on VFN Radio. Don't forget about the 24/7 loop that starts in a few. And we will see you on the VFN Torch or at VFNTV.com. God bless.